And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Maybe Midtown Manhattan, for sure, Boudelier's Point, big shout out. And you also may listen on your mobile device. I'm just picturing little mobile devices flying around using the TuneIn app. Just put in KMUN, and there we are. 24/7, 365. And by the way, Monday, this coming Monday, is KMUN's 34th birthday. That means we've been on the air. We've completed our 34th year. We're marching into our 35th year on the air. Hallelujah. And that's because of all the support from the community, all the volunteers of all kinds, and we thank everybody. I don't know what life would be like without Coast Community Radio. Well, it is 2:59 here, and it is time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. I'm going to play some music from my first guest, and then we can all welcome Brian Oberlin from the Oregon Mandolin Orchestra, and he's the director, but he's also a brilliant mandolinist. Stay tuned. Thanks for being here, folks. Thank you. Well, I don't know about you folks. If you could sit still for that, you're, I don't know what you are, because that was fabulous. That was Brian Oberlin and Evan Marshall, and Brian Oberlin is my guest. Hi, Brian.
Good afternoon.
This is great. So now, when did this come out? This is 2012? No. What are the numbers? They're so tiny. When did you guys
That's last year, 2016.
Oh, just last year. Excellent. So, Twin Mandolin Slingers. And these guys know how to have a good time. And how do I know that? Because they were here in Astoria. They closed the tenor guitar gathering out, and they brought everybody to a high-intensity excitement. Nobody could even believe that you guys were really doing what you were doing. It's so exciting. And Evan is from another planet, I think.
He is.
Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Evan Marshall is, he's the best.
And he lives?
He lives in Los Angeles.
But he's coming up when?
Oh, Evan Marshall's going to be in town. He is a special guest with the Oregon Mandolin Orchestra.
Okay, folks, get this on your calendar right now, because this is very, very special. It is a week from Saturday. That's April 22nd at the fabulous historic Liberty Theater on 12th and Commercial at 7:30 p.m., but do come early. And you can go online. It's very easy now. Liberty Astoria. You don't even know how to, have to know how to spell theater anymore. LibertyAstoria.com. And get yourself a ticket for the Oregon Mandolin Orchestra with special guest Evan Marshall. Brian, you are the director of the Mandolin Orchestra, is that true?
I am the founder and director.
The founder and director, okay.
Of the Mandolin, Oregon Mandolin Orchestra, started in 2009.
And how many folks are you?
We are, including me, we're 25 strong now.
Does everybody play mandolin, or you have all different kinds of...
All different sorts of things.
Fusion instruments.
It's mandolin family instruments, so just like you have a string quintet with violins and violas and cellos and such. So we have the first and second mandolin section. We have mandola, a mandola section, a mandocello section, and even a mando bass player. So it's five voices and split up between 25 people.
Wow.
And... Yeah.
And are some of these people new, or has everybody been together for a while?
Most of the players in the orchestra have been there for at least a good 6 or 7 years. So we're really, we're really tight
together.
Group.
Now, am I right that Spud plays or played with you guys?
Yeah, Spud.
Spud Siegel, Spudley. Well known to this audience here, because from various and sundry bands, can't even remember all the names. The last one was the Snake Skinners. They were just here in Astoria, and he plays with lots of folks. So, but mandolin is such a versatile instrument. I am always amazed when I hear it. I mean, you can tell. And I just heard it at the Liberty. What's today, Friday? I guess it was just I think it was just last night. There was a concert. Yes, of course. That's right. And they were quite delightful. So I have a banjo mandolin at home. Is that part of the family, or is that kind of a cousin?
It's like second cousin Claude there. Yeah, banjo mandolin.
Because it starts with the word banjo instead of mandolin?
Yeah, yeah. you want to stay away from those. I mean. Oh.
Well, my daddy played that, but I meant to bring it in today for you to hear, but for you to play even better. So, but instead we have Brian here with his mandolin. But before he plays, I just want to get some more of your story. Was mandolin the first instrument you played?
No. I'm actually from the great state of Michigan, and in junior high and high school and stuff, I played saxophone.
Oh.
And I was pretty good at that. And also my friends and I, we started a rock band where I played guitar and mostly drums. We thought we were Primus. This was back in the early 90s. So
did you know that music was going to be your life at that time, or was it just fun?
I kind of hoped it would be, you know. I didn't have any aspirations to become a professional musician back then, but I thought that I would do something in music.
Did you know that one could survive as a professional musician? A life that you might like to have? Because a lot of people, that's the problem for them. They think the arts are great, creative, exciting, but you can't live on it. And I'm going, yes, you can.
You can. You can live on 10 grand a year.
He crawls out of his hovel there.
No, so I picked up the mandolin. I discovered bluegrass music when I was 19 years old. Oh. And immediately fell in love with the sound of the music. And I actually learned to play all the bluegrass instruments a little bit. But the mandolin prevailed. And
did you learn on mandolin or on guitar and then switch over?
All at the same time. I mean, I had already played guitar.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I screwed around with the fiddle and the banjo and dobro. And
why did the mandolin grab your heart?
It has this it has so many endearing qualities to it. You know, the tremolo.
That's called the tremolo?
That's called the tremolo, yeah.
Okay. That's what my father used to play on his, what's it called?
The
potato
back,
bug. Yeah.
Yeah, bowlback mandolin.
He used to do that. Diddly-lilly-lilly-lilly-lilly-lilly-lilly.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it had a real name.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm so glad that I stuck with the mandolin because you're right. It's very versatile, you know. You can play classical music on it, swing and bluegrass. And
I have a feeling we're going to hear all of the above or all of the before next week on Saturday at the concert. Is that true with the...
Absolutely.
Oregon Mandolin Orchestra at the Liberty Theater, the 22nd of April, 7:30. So how's that going to work? Does the orchestra play all of these genres or...
So the orchestra has... The beauty of the orchestra is that it's not a jam session, if you will. You know, it's not like going to hear a band just jam on something. This is something that we've been rehearsing since mid-January, the whole orchestra. And we're doing some really tough pieces. The orchestra is doing several movements from some Mozart violin concertos.
Oh.
The third violin concerto, the fourth violin concerto, some other great things from Mozart. It's mostly Mozart.
Nice.
So
we're going to dedicate that to Dave Bennett, who passed recently, and he was listening to Mozart when he did.
Ah.
One of our classical programmers.
Mm-hmm.
That's strictly classical. Now, who arranged it for mandolin?
Well, the parts are almost ready-made, you know. For mandolin orchestra, there are, of course, those out there that know a little bit about classical music, in those violin concertos, there's also flute and horn parts, or clarinet, oboe parts. So Evan did a little rearranging of some of those parts, so the mandolas would get some nice flute and horn parts.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything's covered, wow. And Evan is playing the solo violin part on mandolin. So,
Are there a lot of mandolin orchestras in the country?
I wouldn't say a lot. You know, I bet you there are 25?
In the whole country.
Okay. Maybe more. Okay. I could be way off on that.
Well, when you started this, you had seen others and knew it could be done, or did you just sort of dream about it?
I had not actually saw another or heard another mandolin orchestra. I had heard small mandolin groups. There was a group called, oh boy, the Mando Brothers or something. It was this thing that Peter Ostrushko did.
Oh yes.
Yeah, Mando Brothers, I think that's what it was called. And they were doing some classical music, mm-hmm. you know, as a four piece. And yeah, it's something that I've always just wanted to do, you know.
Four piece is a lot smaller than 25 piece, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But the thing about the four piece, though, is it's very similar in terms of, you know, it's just a small quartet. And, you know, the orchestra is playing the same parts, it's just strength in numbers, you know. Got it. So we get, it's a really beautiful thing.
I can only imagine. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm just mentioning again, it's next Saturday. Put it on your calendar, folks, at the Liberty. So then Evan is going to do the solo in that part. And then what are you and Evan going to do? You two are going to do something together, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So as the Oregon Man, these concerts, we always have a special guest. Mm-hmm. And not only does the orchestra play some classical music, but there's a lighter side to the program too. So Evan and I will let loose on some bluegrass and some swing and a couple things, and of course the orchestra will also be doing some bluegrass fiddle tunes that Evan has arranged in his Ooh. Special way. So,
the whole orchestra,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. And is there going to be singing with this, or just the
in the small part portion where Evan and I are playing as a duo? Yes, I'll be doing some singing.
Okay.
But other than that, no, it's instrumental.
Okay. And we're going to I'm going to ask you if you could. Now Evan is not here today.
Not yet.
No, not yet. Are you on tour, or is this just special for you guys to come up here to the Liberty?
It's a weekend tour. We're playing at the Multnomah Arts Center on next Friday, week from today. And that's in Multnomah Village in Portland. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday here in Astoria. And then Sunday at the Liberty Theater, Old Liberty Theater in Ridgefield, Washington.
Oh.
Which is a really... So we go from the Liberty Theater to the old Liberty Theater.
Well, this Liberty Theater is 90 years old. I wonder how old that... 92 years old. I wonder how old that one is.
I think this one is older than that one. One here in Astoria. I'm guessing.
This one. Yeah. Astoria is older. Yeah. Because it was a vaudeville theater to begin with.
Yeah.
1925. And the name Liberty, a lot of them got named Liberty when they came about. After World War I, before
sure.
they knew World War II was coming. But
right.
Won't go there right now. Okay, I would love to hear Brian Oberlin, my guest, who is the director, founder and director of the Oregon Mandolin Orchestra. Do you supplement your, I'm sure, high income from directing the Mandolin Orchestra with other musical acts?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I perform a lot as a soloist,
mm-hmm.
And of course Evan and I have this Twin Mandolin Slingers album, so mm-hmm. we go on a couple tours each year.
By the way, I have to tell folks, you got to see this album and take it home with you as well. Well, you have to pay for it, but take it home with you because the artwork is terrific on the front, not to mention the cute picture of the two of them on the back.
Yeah.
It's quite delightful. So you two go on tours.
We go on tours. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, I've got my hands in just about everything I can mandolin oriented. You know, I have played with several bands.
Did the mandolin have a certain time, or is it still in it when it surged in popularity, or is it sort of always been at...
In Europe, it had a big dive in popularity in the late 1700s, early 1800s. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah, definitely.
But no, it has, especially since like the 50s or 60s here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Now, I have to say my dad was playing it and writing music for it in 1936.
Oh, yeah.
I had a piece of paper that was dated on that. One last question, and we don't carry Prairie Home Companion, but isn't the guy mm-hmm. who took over, is he a mandolinist?
That's right, yeah, Chris Thiele. He got the gig of a lifetime there.
Yeah, so I'm thinking he's also bringing the mandolin to people who may not have been as aware of it because they were used to a different kind of show. And now they're
right.
here, and it's heavy duty with good music. And
yeah, he brings in his band there at the show is
good
pretty great.
There.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear Brian Oberlin. Can you play us something?
I'd love to.
Okay, what do you got?
I'm going to play something that Evan Marshall and I wrote together. It's our collaboration with Johann Strauss.
Okay.
We took a waltz of Johann Strauss's and made it swing. Put it in 4/4 time. And I wrote some lyrics to it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. And by the way, folks, this guy, Evan Marshall, really seriously seems to be from another planet because...
He is.
I know I good friends, Larry Moore from Brownsmead, who is a passionate mandolin player, sat there with his mouth hanging open during that concert when the two of you were playing. And he said, that guy, he's not. That he's got extra hands somehow.
Yeah, so. in the type of mandolin music that he plays, he is, in my opinion, the best in the world.
Wow.
You know,
and he's going to be here along with Brian and the entire Oregon Mandolin Orchestra. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Lucky star, shining far away, though I feel close to thee. Bright you are, my lucky star, oh please remember me. Cold and bright, a starlit night, not one cloud above. January skies are beautiful, canopy for love. In hot July, the stars seem nice, so many shine their rays. But I am looking for her single eye, yeah, to carry me away. Lucky star shining far away, though I feel close to thee. Bright you are, my lucky star, oh please remember me.
Brian Oberlin right here at Coast Community Radio. And you can hear Brian and Evan Marshall and the entire Oregon Mandolin Orchestra at the Liberty Theater in Astoria. That's 12th and Commercial, Saturday, April 22nd. That's a week from tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to come early and get your tickets. You can call 503-325-5922 and get tickets that way. Or you can check out the website, that's libertyastoria.com, and get tickets and find out what else is going on. Thank you so much for coming. Brian came all the way from Portland to share with us, folks, and I am honored. Terrific.
Thank you so much.
You bet. And we'll see you next week.
All right.
Okay, safe drive. You have a show tonight, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm playing at the Muddy Rudder in Sellwood.
Okay, if you happen to be in Portland listening, you can catch them tonight, too. Thanks. And I've got some music from, I think it's, let's see, is this, well, I'm just going to hit the button and find out what I've got here, because I think it's Dusty. Oh, no, of course not. You know who's coming up next? It's the Astoria Music Festival. So let's have a listen. Stay tuned. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Thanks, folks. Thank you. I bet a lot of you recognize that as well. And my guests are here from the Astoria Music Festival.
Hey.
And yay!
Yay!
Yay is right. It's the 15th year, and we're very pleased that it is a happening thing. So I have two local, well, one's, in, well, I don't know, does an opera person get to be called a musician? Do you use that term for, I don't know.
I don't know. That's, oh, I wasn't prepared for such a difficult question.
I was going to say two local artists and musicians and teachers, but then I went, wait, if you sing opera,
yes,
but you don't play in, you play your voice as an instrument,
yes,
that makes you a musician.
Yes. The idea of the prima donna means that the woman is the center of the orchestra. That's where we get the diva kind of thing that comes from. There you go.
Okay, thank you. That is the voice of Deke Guidi, who also happens to teach
public speech. Speech, yes. Communication.
Speech communication and the word rhetoric, which I still don't know what it means, but he teaches it. So someday you can find out by taking his class. My other guest is definitely a musician and a photographer, both art forms, and that would be David Lee Myers. Hi, David.
Good afternoon.
And David also has been known to program on KMUN, or used to be known. I don't think
it's been a long time.
Why is that, David? No, I won't ask you any more difficult questions. We'll talk about that later. We need more class. Anyway, they are here because they are both board members for the Astoria Music Festival 2017. And Deke, I believe you're the president of the board?
Yes.
You took your hat off for that
I
one,
did.
Didn't you?
Because, I'm getting hot.
Oh, I yes. thought it was because it's a great honor. You have to do that. So here's the deal. The festival is happening. I'm going to let them give you all the details, but I will tell you, late breaking news is that on Thursday, April 27th, there will be the Astoria Music Festival Summer 2017 Preview Party. And it's going to be at Baked Alaska from 5:30 to 6:30 on the 27th of April. So that's not too, that's actually
2 weeks from yesterday.
2 weeks from yesterday. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's right, Thursday. Yeah, so get that on your calendar, and you can, because a lot of people have been asking me, have they been asking you also, Deke, especially because you've been singing with the opera for a number of years, have they been saying, what's happening?
Yes, you know? Yes, and actually, just as a little point of reference, David and I were both in the very first Astoria Music Festival.
Really?
I was the count in our first production of The Marriage of Figaro and Konamichi, which was strings group from the area, was one of the featured performances midweek. So we've been around.
We've been with it from the beginning.
And just to add a little bit to what Carol was saying about the preview party on the 27th, just to entice you, there will also be appetizers and a no-host bar available. Mm. So food always is a good thing.
Especially when it's food from Baked Alaska.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we are going to announce then pretty much the full schedule of the festival, which this year is going to run from June 11th, starting off with the solo recital debut of Angela Mead in Oregon, which should be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we're running through the 25th of June, which the final performance, the gala kind of closing performance, is going to be Rossini's The Barber of Seville,
oh,
Il Barbiere di Siviglia.
Yeah. And are you going to be in?
I am.
Ooh.
I am. If you can imagine, I'm the comic character. And
can't imagine that. You're such
a
serious guy.
It's a struggle.
Yeah. But I am a little confused how you're doing anything with a barber, considering what you've got on your head, which is no hair.
I will have.
That's part of the comedy. And the middle weekend, Saturday, June 17th, is a memorial concert for Michael Foster, who did so much for every kind of art in this community.
Absolutely. And children and young adults, too, because he was the librarian at Astoria High School forever.
Yes, absolutely. And established a magnificent scholarship fund. He's on the very short list of people who lifted this whole area into being a real mecca for the arts.
And what will you be doing on that Saturday?
And the really key thing that night is we're going to play Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Woo-hoo. Wow.
That concludes with the Ode to Joy. We heard a little bit of the introduction that at the beginning
of
the program.
Some of us even sang along, but absolutely. I doubt you'll have sing-along for it, right?
Will be a choir that accompanies it.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I'm even in that choir, and I will get to sing.
We'll see.
Right. Okay. David, are you going to be taking part in this festival in addition to being on the board?
No, I'm not going to be playing any music.
You're not going to be playing?
Not this year.
Okay. Maybe I'll take pictures. So, photographs. So, how are we doing? The 27th of April, and then May, June. Okay, so that gives a month and a half before it actually begins.
Yes.
So people, what do you need? What help do you need from the community? Because we know...
We still need more volunteers.
Okay, what for?
And...
Everything?
Pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a person can have capacity for a small job or a big job or a middle job or organizing something or just carrying things out. We have an office manager now who will be responding to inquiries.
Is there a phone number? Is that the 9896 or 9? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. See what my brain
read
does?
Read the phone number, Deke.
That's scary. 325-9896 with a 503 in front. Okay. And
thank you.
Now the office has been shared with Tempo Gallery. Is that happening again?
Yes.
Okay.
And I encourage you to just drop into the office because A, the artwork is amazing.
Yes.
And B, Kristen is willing to help out with anything, willing to give you any information that you are needing about the festival. We've got two really great, Kristen and a young man named Kevin Schlossman, who is doing a lot of great work with the audience and doing a lot of great work with the artists right now to get everything set up. So
okay. So now, how often are they there? Should one call first before going over just in case? Or
I think that is the best practice to drop a line before
can't be
you're
there
coming.
24/7.
Absolutely. Kristen has it manned pretty much during the days, I would say.
Oh, really?
Kristen Labar expects to be there most afternoons.
Okay. And I know it's on Commercial right next to,
right next to Old Town Framing.
Thank you. The brain sometimes skips a beat there. So do you have the actual address there by any chance? Because I don't. But it's between 12th and 14th on Commercial. So it's one block east of a lot of the restaurants and galleries and stuff like that. But it's a delightful gallery, Tempo Gallery.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, Phyllis Taylor was the featured guest, is the featured artist right now, but they're all there. And then, of course, Old Town Framing always has lots of goodies. But Kristen, good. I'm glad to hear that. Again, the phone number 503-325-9896. And I think the sign outside probably says Tempo Gallery, but maybe she'll have a sandwich.
No, there is a sign that says this is the office of the Astoria Music Festival.
Good.
It is, and they have our banner and stuff like that set up.
There's a hanging sign above the door on the facade of the building.
Okay, so you really can't miss it. It is on the south side. That means not the riverside. And just check it out. It's a small, it goes way, way back, but it's narrow on the street, so you don't want to You don't want to walk right by it, but that's the best way to get information. Well, the best way is to come on April 27th, of course,
yes.
If you can, if you're local, 5:30 to 6:30. But
yeah, I'd just like to mention that besides the highlights that we've already mentioned, we're going to have Israel Nebaker and some friends. We're going to have three-legged torso.
Really?
And a tango party, including tango lessons.
Oh, my.
And
this is all part of the Astoria Music Festival.
This is all part of the Astoria Music Festival. We're going to have several midweek chamber concerts.
Fantastic.
And we're going to have a reader's theater on the Barber of Seville.
Directed by Sen.
Directed and played by Sen.
At the Liberty and then in the McTavish, probably.
Yes, I've seen Sen in Cabaret. He's a marvelous actor. I think this will be...
And the
great performance.
The Reader's Theater at the Liberty has been extraordinary.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they actually had to bring in extra chairs last time.
Oh, that's
great.
Because
it was so popular, which
good.
It is good. So,
great.
And there will be some previews of Wagner. Wagner presented Light, warming up for what we hope is a real presentation next summer. Summer 2018, and there's going to be a recital by the bass baritone Richard Zeller.
Oh, great, from the Metropolitan, along with Angela Mead. By the way, some people, you know, when you said Angela Mead, I got so excited I forgot to mention, folks, and we all forgot to mention, there are people listening who have no idea. They haven't been around for the past 14 years, and they don't even necessarily know who some of these people are. We're talking about Angela Mead is probably the top of the line these days at the Metropolitan Opera in New York City.
And she's been singing a lot in Europe, and she's really a bel canto specialist. So that means works by Donizetti, Verdi, Rossini, Bellini. And she's not the opener, but she is the second Norma next season at the Met, which opens at the Met. And then she is singing a very rarely done Rossini called Semiramide. Which they are staging specifically for her to do next winter. So she's phenomenal. And Zeller is one of my favorite people. And his recital is going to be in large part accompanied by an acoustic guitar.
Oh.
And he's going to be doing works, some Spanish works by Defaya and some Schubert. And it's just going to be sublime. It's going to be at the PAC.
Fantastic.
It's a don't miss.
Okay, folks, here's the bottom line. The festival needs you, needs all of us.
Absolutely.
Now, of course, David and Deke are getting paid in the six figures to help with this.
All zeros.
They're all zeros, exactly. Exactly.
Lots and lots of zeros.
Yes. This community is top of the line in volunteerism, and that's the only way it's going to happen. So give a call and stop by the gallery. Again, 503-325-9896. That's breathtaking. Angela Mead is just, and both of those people are so lovely. That's the beauty of seeing them here in Astoria instead of in New York City, where you won't get anywhere near them. Here, you can go right up and shake hands and have a talk, ask questions, just hang out. It's the real deal. So get involved. See how you can help. If you can host an artist or if you can volunteer in some way, do that. And
perfect, Carol.
We'll get you guys back at some, you know,
closer.
Closer to the time. Maybe some of the artists will come in June. But for now, put April 27th on your calendar, 5:30 to 6:30 at the Baked Alaska, and check it out. Okay? Thank you so much.
Carol, thank you so much.
You bet.
And as from every artist in the local community, again, thank you for what you do here and all around the community.
Thank you.
Because it wouldn't be near the success without you. So
we
owe you a lot.
You're going to make me, I'm already crying. Thanks a lot, Deke. Deke Weedy and David Lee Myers, my guests, and from the Astoria Music Festival. 2017. And I've got one more set of guests coming up, and I'm just going to play you some music, actually, from Dusty St. Marie, who is playing at the Sou'Wester tomorrow evening with Travis Champ and Galen Ballinger. Check out the Sou'Wester. It's a trailer park and resort, and it's a wonderful place. Check them out.
And the way that she moves, something sacred in the way that she speaks, a broken boot and a rose tattoo, dear God, my heart sings. Everything happens to music, like how she'd sing in Spanish when she'd clean her room. A mother's grace, smile and wonder, most beautiful friend.
That's Dusty St. Marie, and again, he will be at the Sou'Wester tomorrow evening, along with some other favorites, or at least, I don't know Galen Ballinger, but I do know Travis Champ, another local favorite, and that's in CV, Washington, and always a popular and fun place to visit. Well, speaking of popular, what's popular these days is poetry. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And it is national. Is it national, isn't it?
It is
National
Poetry Month.
And so we have here two of our local esteemed poets. You just heard the voice of Jim Dott. And
hi, Carol.
Hi, Jim.
Hello, everyone.
Jim is also, or used to be, no, he still is. What am I talking about? He does children's bedtime stories.
Yeah, every other Monday night.
Every other Monday night. And he also used to do other programs, including poetry on arts, live and local.
Right. A Calendar of Writers,
calendar
which I did for
writings.
Many years with...
With Karen Temple,
well,
right?
And before that with Barbara Hansel.
Barbara Hansel. Oh,
it was her idea. So
fantastic. Florence Sage is my other guest, and Florence is well known in the community for many things, including her poetry.
Mostly.
And teaching. But you've retired from the teaching, which has given you more time for the poetry.
Even more. Mm-hmm.
So let's just let folks know, I wanted some poetry because this is National Poetry Month, and Astoria is doing really, really well. So why don't one of you mention the ongoing Rick's?
Every first Tuesday of the month, we have a open mic called Rick's Mic in memory of Rick Vrana, who founded it several years ago, but who unfortunately passed away about a year ago. But so we have it at Winecraft on the first Tuesday of the month.
And that's at the foot of 10th Street, on the
right,
river. 10th
right on
the
river,
the river
there. And sign-up is at 6:45. It's a spoken word open mic, five-minute time slots, and then the reading starts at 7 and goes on till everybody's had their turn if they want one.
Yeah.
So the next first Tuesday is May 2nd.
But I want to say we'd love to have listeners come.
Yeah, so you don't have to read, but... Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Florence, because some of us enjoy that aspect of it, too. And the Winecraft is a relatively new venue, period. It's also a new venue for the poetry reading, and it's delightful, isn't it?
It's a very nice venue,
It's lovely because... there's no television going at the same time. And,
no billiards.
The bottom line is
no billiards,
we appreciate any venue that welcomes the arts.
Exactly.
We thank Rebecca Kraft for having us there.
Yeah, some are more conducive, so that's great. Yeah. And something else is going on. Florence, why don't you tell us about what's going on at the library?
Oh, at the end of the month, as their Poetry Month performance, the library is having actually my friend poet Margaret Chula on Saturday, April 29th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And she is going to be reading from her new book called Daffodils of Twilight. This might be especially interesting because she's also going to give a talk about her transition from about 40 years of writing in Japanese styles. She and her husband taught for years in Japan quite a while ago, but it got her, you know, her eye trained in a certain way and her ear trained in a certain way. And she has just written this, her first book of lyric poetry, which will be very different because there's emotion and, you know, a lot going on in
her
poetry.
Of us have heard her read her haiku poetry. So this is interesting and to hear how it all works together.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have a lot of time. So what I thought I would love to do is if each of you have a poem to read, and then if we have extra time, that's great.
Could you remind your listeners that Dinah Urell asked me to write an article on Poetry Month for the Hipfish, and it's in the new edition.
That would
and
be
so
the April
Hipfish. The
and
April Hipfish, and we'd love it if you would read that.
I just picked mine up last night, so I haven't even had a chance.
It's kind of a manifesto for poetry and certainly for Rick's Poetry Mike.
What page is that on? Do you have it right
there? Yes, I have it right here. It's page 9.
And that is several of the poets is
I got input from several of the poets who read.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So again, all these little pieces here, Rick's ongoing first Tuesday of the month at Winecraft, the library with Margaret Chula on the 29th of April, and then the Hipfish, which is print, so you can catch it whenever you get a chance in the April version. Okay. Those are all the logistics. It's National Poetry Month. I've got Jim Dott and Florence Sage, two of our wonderful, active, and longtime active poets here in this area. Jim, did you want to start?
Okay. I have one called Resurrection. After the equinox, the big leaf maple wakes from winter's skeletal slumber. When thrashed in gales, neighbors fell, branches ripped away, and rot began deep in its heartwood. Sufficient light, warmth arrives, sap is lifted, pregnant buds spill flowers, yellow-green pagodas dangling earthward, their tiered lanterns briefly lit, their incense enticing flies, beetles, bees. Come fertilize, it's time for sex and resurrection. Robins chase and crazed courtship, crash into leafing brambles, flickers tap territories, crows strip moss and lichens from the maple's limbs, so soft for lining nests. Last year's spin of seeds push aside stones and arise from the soil. Leaf buds split, slowly unclench fists, relaxing fingers open, perfect palms of joyful green, untorn, unscarred, unaware of the incipient rot, unfold to summer's lush incarnation, growing darkness, the fall, another life.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I wondered Thank when you. You said resurrection. I know you. I know you're a nature poet, but I figured he did that on purpose because it is holiday time after all. Hey, Florence, that was Jim Dodd. Yes. Florence Sage.
I just want to say poets like to disconcert a little bit, shake you a bit.
We don't have much time.
And actually, I'm glad that you mentioned sex because I was worried about reading this one. Not now.
This is for a friend of mine.
Yes, I thought it might be a bit tasty, but I think it'd be all right. Breakfast with Tulip. Fortunate, after all, the last lone tulip drooping in the vase amid a mass of peachy roses, curling, turning, nodding, letting petals drop. She can see it's dying and considers aloud throwing it out after breakfast. He takes the tulip up with a delicate hand that's used to handling butterflies in the field, to sweep the petals back and forth slowly across his lips and tongue, blazing like the sun can be before it sets, silken, ridged, receptive, tasty, wrapped around his finger and stroked and pressed around across his kissing mouth and tongue, the tulip like a lover on his lips. She sits across the table, letting the remains of her toast and eggs go cold, to observe the man in dedication to the last lucky petals of the tulip she would have tossed on the compost heap in the backyard, sets down her coffee and reaches for a petal.
Whoa. Okay. Well, regards to all the poets out there. We know who you are, and we are very, very glad you are keeping it alive and inspiring your friends, your other poetry friends. I'm going to have to, if there is anything else you want to tell us quickly, this was just a little taste, folks, of the delight that you can have if you show up on the first Tuesday of the month.
Yeah, and it's all ages welcome. That's important.
Today's was a bit of an adult version.
Yeah.
No, actually, see, that's the beauty of it. Everybody can receive what they're ready to receive on that. So we're all grinning, but you know what's going on. Thank you so much for keeping poetry alive.
Thank you, Carol.
And
for helping
us out. To poets.
And for coming in here. And again, on the 29th.
Saturday.
April the 29th,
yes.
6 to 7:30 at the Astoria Library. Margaret Chula and Rick's Poetry, the first Tuesday of every month at Winecraft, the 10th and the River. And Hipfish, have a look. Thanks so much for coming in,
thank
Florence
you.
Thank
Sage
you, thank you.
And Jim Dodd.
Thank you, thank you.
And I do have, I want to wish everybody a happy holiday. It is
Israel.
We're in the middle of celebrating Passover. Today is Good Friday and Sunday Easter. And so I wish that everybody will be able to partake in the messages of liberation and freedom and peace and compassion. Take care of each other and ourselves in these times, and be sure to tune into the arts, because that's what really makes life alive, creative, and community worth living.
We do. Hello, Laura, to my people, come. When Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people, let them go.
Let's make sure to help all people to go in peace and in liberation. Let's be on the right side of history. And tonight, this weekend, is the last night, and tomorrow night, At the Coaster Theater for Mousetrap. Astor Street Opry Company has the real story of Lewis and Clark. Astoria Arts and Movement Center has a Contra Dance tonight, 7 p.m. with the Country String Band. Four of our great local musicians, Hobie, Gina, Larry, and Knox, Dave Ambrose caller, and it makes your brain work better. I read it in the online. Klatskanai Middle and High School has Jefferson Dancers tonight at 7. And The Adrift has music all week. Sweet Basils was sending out lots of love to Maggie. And, of course, the Cats. And the Barquet Buckaroos are there tomorrow night. Noel Thomas is at Dots and Doodles for a while. Tokeland North Cove Studio Tour is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And there's also a dinner there to benefit the arts in the schools. Representative Suzanne Bonamici is in Warrenton High School, 11 a.m. on Saturday. If you have questions, Browns Mean Chili Cook-Off. Little Ballet Theater Young Choreographers at the Liberty this Saturday. And the Imprint Gallery is happening in Cannon Beach. Peninsula Performing Arts Center has a Hey-Ho Trio, 20s to 40s. They're doing great music there. Dusty Santa Maria at the Southwester at 8. Calavella, and onward, folks. Thanks for being here. KMUN Astoria, KTCB, TillamookCoastRadio.org.